Isaiah chapter 55. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations who know you not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed.
Okay, thank you, Karen, for that reading. And as we go on looking through these great chapters from Isaiah. I don't know about you, but each time we read from the prophecies and words from this book, I get inspired and I think about the church in our day. Even as the prophecy was primarily for Israel, for Zion, but I think about the church in our day as the Zion of today. So I'd like to speak to us, well, from this chapter, but basically from the 12th verse, on the subject, shout for joy. So in our study today, we noticed that the expectancy which has been heightened through the previous chapters of Isaiah's prophecy, now sort of explodes into that of a song and great expectation for what the Lord is doing. And I would like us, if you will please, for us to read together this verse. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you. Amen. You shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. I remember a few Sundays ago we had that song, "You shall go out with joy, and the mountains and the hills will clap their hands." Do you remember that song? And based especially on this verse. So, before this chapter, indeed, chapter 54 is a sort of an extended, complex metaphor before this chapter apply to the relationship between Jerusalem and the Lord, which is a relationship between a wife and a husband. Zion, the wife of the Lord. So before then, Zion had been forsaken, Zion had been bereaved, estranged, but Zion will be called back and then will burst into songs and then will shout for joy. All right? And she will be honored. And then those who had no name will be given a name, and they will be rebuilt. The city will be rebuilt, and everything will be beautiful. So, Zion, the wife of the Lord. I'd like us to think about this, and also to think about Zion in the present tense, of course, in the past tense, and then also in the future tense. We know the Isaiah's prophecy was for Jerusalem, right? And like I told us, he prophesied primarily for the southern kingdom, but his prophecy was also relevant for the northern kingdom in Damascus and the southern kingdom in Jerusalem. But we know specifically for Jerusalem. And so when Zion, the wife of the Lord, who had gone through all these things, will be given a new name, and they'll burst into songs and shouts of joy, which means they will become what they used to be, a rebuilt city, and which was rebuilt in 515 BC. When you read in Isaiah 45, you notice that Cyrus is called the Anointed. Cyrus II, which is the founder of the Athenian dynasty of Persia. And he was the one that conquered Babylon in 538 BC. And so he now allowed them, the exiled Jews, to go back and to rebuild the city. And we know from history and from reading the Bible that the journey was made in three phases. The first one was led by Zerubbabel in 538 BC. That's the first return. And the second one was led by Ezra in 458 BC. And finally, this guy that each time I read about him, I get inspired, Nehemiah, led the second one in 445 BC, which rebuilt the walls and everything around them. So the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah was first and foremost for Jerusalem, right? For what they are going to see, a rebuilt city, better life, right? They have been once in exile, being oppressed and kind of depressed, but a time is coming that they will now burst into songs because the fulfillment of the prophecy. Then secondly, Zion is the church. The fulfillment is also to do with, first of all, the disciples. And of course, we are the disciples of the Lord. So Zion in the present tense now is the church, the capital church, the body of Christ. And we read in John chapter 6, verse 45, these words I'll read for us. It is written in the prophets, talking about Isaiah, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So not now only for Jerusalem, but for everyone. Now the Gentiles included, which is now the present Zion, receiving this prophecy of Isaiah, beginning with the disciples, and of course to us as the present disciples of Christ. Also, Zion has got a future sense to it. And when you read from Revelation 29, verse 9 to 11, I'll read those words for us. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. So there is a future Jerusalem that will receive also the fulfillment of this prophecy. And this will now be both the inhabitants of the past Jerusalem and the inhabitants of the present Jerusalem. So they are going to make up the future Jerusalem. So Jerusalem, Zion, the physical one, the past one, Jerusalem, Zion, the Church of Jesus Christ, they are all going to receive now the ultimate fulfillment of this prophecy in the future life, which everyone will be one. Those from Nigeria, those from Britain, those from Somalia, those from Iraq, those from Egypt, those from Iran, and those from North Korea. They are all going to be the inhabitants of this New Jerusalem, and they are going to burst in song. And this is what they are going to do forever. Forever. I think that's the only thing we're going to do in heaven, singing praises to the Lord, you know, with joy in our hearts and singing and forgetting about our hospital appointments, our sicknesses and our struggles and everything we've gone through, forgetting all those things. And we're going to burst in song, and then the trees in heaven are going to clap their hands, and everything are going to, they're going to praise the name of the Lord. We are the citizens of the New Jerusalem. Amen. We are, at our passport is our salvation. The visa is our salvation that we've received. And of course, we invite anyone who have not received this certificate, this visa, this passport. There is still time. And that leads us to the sixth chapter. It says, "Come, everyone." And the invitation is for everyone. It is for everyone. We've been invited. Who is invited? Everyone. Everyone. The Lord has thrown the invitation to everyone. And for us to do what? What are we invited to do? To come. To come and to receive. Isaiah addressed, you know, the demoralized people of Israel who were in Babylon at that time. They didn't see what Isaiah saw. Isaiah was seeing the end. He was seeing the fulfillment of what he's saying to them. But at that time, it couldn't make meaning to them. What Isaiah was saying, they were still in captivity, but Isaiah was seeing the end. And then bringing the word of the Lord to them, saying, you come along, whoever you are, come along. But today, the words are for us. For every one of us, you know, we might be in sort of situation that it seems that the Lord is far. And that was how it seemed to them in those days in Babylon. When Isaiah came along with the words saying, yes, there is a future Jerusalem coming and there is emancipation for you. But we are still here. We are still in captivity. Sometimes that's how it feels when you pray or when prophecies come to you. And you look around, it happened to me several times, you look around, I'm still here, I'm still in this sort of captivity, I'm still in this sickness, I'm still in this trouble. But when we believe, like Isaiah said, who has believed our report? When we believe that when we come, that gift will be freely given to us, we will receive from the Lord. And verse 1, going back to Isaiah 55, says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. If salvation were to be something you pay for, I wouldn't receive it, myself particularly. But we don't have to pay anything, just our willingness. Come without money, without price. Come, buy and eat. People eat food to satisfy their physical hunger. But I like to say there is a spiritual hunger, whether we admit it or not today, in the hearts of people. There's something there waiting to be filled. And that's why for anything that comes to them, it gets filled there. There is that hunger. People are craving. When I chat to people today, sometimes they don't know what they want, but they really want something. People want something to fill that void inside. And that's why we must bring the gospel to them. And we thank God for the Gideons and for John and for some of us who do this. We make ourselves available to God to bring the good news to people, to fill the emptiness, the void in us. But it's free. Come, you who are thirsty. We have to be thirsty for the Lord. When I gave my life to Christ, I became a Christian. I always prayed every morning and said, there must be something more, Lord. There must be something more. It's not just coming to church, coming to fellowship. There must be something more. You know, I craved for something more, and I went into long fasting, as I was sharing with Judy last week. I went into long fasting. I'm praying. That's just for me. I'm not asking you to do so, because God leads us differently, right? We have different ways that we approach God, different ways, experiences with God. You might not pray like someone. You know, someone might be, well, I only believe God answers me when I stand to pray, and that's their personal walk with God. Some other person might believe that I only receive answers when I kneel to pray or when I sit to pray, but you can pray even while driving, you know that. Of course, you can pray while standing, you can pray while sitting, you can pray however you want to do to pray. God listens anywhere, right? He listens to us and he hears us. But he wants us to be thirsty for his word, to hunger for his word. And I prayed and I prayed, and I remember one day praying and praying and asking God, there must be more, there must be more. And I heard in a night vision, I saw myself when I was about in my late teens, when I gave my life to Christ. And I saw myself in a large crowd, you know, preaching to people. At that time, I've not left my little village in Omwaya in Nigeria. I had not left at that point. But I saw myself preaching to people who are multicultural. I saw myself, you know, preaching in a long robe. I was wearing a long robe. Why? Because I was a Methodist at that point, so I knew all the Methodist priests had their long robes. Maybe that was why I saw myself wearing a long robe and preaching to people, and I was confused. I woke up and I went to the priest in my village and shared with him, and, sir, this is what I'm seeing. And he looked to me and said, someday you become a vicar. Someday you become a minister. I went away, you know, going to school, doing my stuff, and forgot about that. But when I now answered the call of God in 1998, I now flashed back and remembered those early days that I prayed for the word of God, and I went into the woods and I read the Bible. I devoured, but not just reading the Bible. I devoured the Bible, I read books, I listened to tapes, I watched videos of people preaching. I immersed myself in the word of God. While I was still an accountant, I wasn't a preacher then. I didn't know how to preach, but I said there must be more to this thing, not just coming to church on a Sunday, but there must be more in the gospel and in the kingdom of God. He says, anyone who is thirsty, what God looks for is our willingness. He looks for our hunger and thirst for his word, for water and for milk. You know, water and milk in scripture, some places, have been used to describe the word of God. right? And wine also sometimes is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So when you crave for the Word and the Holy Spirit, you will be filled. That's the promise fulfilled. So we are offered nourishment when we seek them. And how are we going to get it? Simply by coming. Come. Come, all you who are thirsty. That's just how. That's just the first requirement. Just come. And when you come, listen. And when you listen, you will seek and call upon God. Salvation is freely given to nourish our souls. But we must receive. Going down to verse 6, he says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. There is no amount of sin we might have wandered so far away from God. The door is still open to us. Call upon him, seek him while he may be found. He is still near to us. In fact, God is not planning to move away from us. Indeed, we are the ones who wander away from him. We are the ones who, do our own things and create barriers between us by the sins we commit and by the things we do and by the actions and by what we think and by what we don't do and by what we don't say. We are the ones that create barriers between us and God. He doesn't go away from us. He's ever present with us. And what he thinks and how he thinks is different from us. In verse 8 and 9, he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, see, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So what he plans for us is bigger and better than what we plan for ourselves. All right, sometimes we try to put God in our mold and try to make his plan become our plans. But I think what we should ask is for him to have his way in our lives. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11, you know it. You can say it without even looking at your Bibles. "For I know," say it, "the plans, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." That's his plan for us. And we believe that as we come to him, we will burst out with joy. You shall go out. My prayer today is as we literally go out, we will go out with joy. Amen. And we'll be led out with peace. And the mountains and the hills will break forth into singing before us. Everywhere we go, they will burst out singing before the Lord. And the trees of the field will clap their hands. They will clap their hands. They will praise God. They will praise God. They will say, "Oh, the Lord is good all the time. And all the time, the Lord is good." It looks awkward that people who are in exile in Babylon could go out with joy. For me, as next week we'll begin our series on the fruit of the Spirit, thinking about joy, love, peace, long-suffering, and all those things, it doesn't make sense for someone who was still in exile in Babylon being told to go out with joy. It doesn't make sense for someone who is still suffering with some sort of illness to burst out in songs and sing with joy. But that's what the scripture says. You shall go out with joy. Praise God. And you'll be laid out with peace. Not the peace of the world, but peace of the Lord, which is different, right? And that's it. It's in here. It's not circumstantial. It's in here. All right? Because he's the fruit of the Spirit. That's my prayer, that we will go out today with joy and with peace. The blessings of the Lord that will be upon us. Let us pray. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And you asked us to come to receive from you. Lord, we are thirsty for your word and for righteousness. We pray, Lord, that you will fill us, even as your word says. Help us, Lord, for whatever we go through, to go out with joy and with the peace of the Lord. And everything around us will clap their hands in praises, singing praises to you, thanking you for who you are. Father, we thank you for we are the redeemed of the Lord. We are citizens of Zion. And thank you, Lord, we've been made partakers of the divine nature. And Lord, we are looking forward to the new Jerusalem. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you will help us and even our family members, our friends and our co-workers, and those, oh Lord, we come in contact with, that they too will become citizens of this new Jerusalem. Lord, we pray for our neighborhood. We pray for this estate. We pray for this community. We pray, oh Lord, for our family members, some of them thousands of miles away, that they will be prepared. They will become citizens of this new Jerusalem. Help us, Lord, today. My prayer for all of us, Lord, is that we will go out with joy, that we will go out with the peace of the Lord. And for what those who trouble us, the things that trouble our hearts, that they will not trouble us to the extent that the joy of the Lord will not be in us, Lord. Help us that we will overcome and that we will become the righteousness of the Lord. We thank you for your word. We bless your name forever. Thank you, Ancient of Days. In Jesus' name we prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.